Now, we see the initiation of a national secular lobby, and I'm sure that most Australians would think this a fair thing. Chris Schott is, of course, former senator and a great friend of the ABC and an ambassador of the national secular lobby. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Peter.
We saw during the same-sex postal vote that whilst Australia is certainly much less religious than it was, the religious right was getting a lot of that say, wasn't it, Chris?
Yes, and in a democracy, every group and any should have the right to do so, so we're not arguing against that.
Mm.
But the National Secular Lobby have been created to provide balance in some of the debate that the issues that are being debated in the community, the overwhelming comment shouldn't just be coming from those with a religious position. The recent census in Australia showed over 30% of Australians said absolutely no religion. Catholics got about 27, then the Anglicans 25, and so on.
Mm.
And it shows that there is a wide diversity in the community, and over the last 30 or 40 years, those who say no religion are growing every census every 5 years.
Are we a Christian nation? We have prayers before Parliament, don't we?
Yes, and that's been a debate. When I was in the Parliament, that was debated, and even I found some Christians didn't agree with having the Lord's Prayer and prayers before the start, saying it's a bit hypocritical to have a Christian prayer,
but then,
asking everyone to love each other, then 5 minutes later we're abusing each other over some policy.
But then the head of state, Chris, is the defender of the Anglican faith. She is the principal Anglican or Church of England representative on earth.
And I would think that's why many non-religious people are also pro-republic of having an Australian head of state that is not there defined by a law in England that says the head of state of Australia must be the head of the Anglican Church.
And if Iran is a theocracy, then isn't the United States of America, which has In God We Trust on its money?
Yes, but also in America, under the Constitution, they have clear separation of state that has been upheld, that the state in America, the government, cannot make money available to particular religions. That's been there in the original constitution. So though they have that phrase on their church, they do have other laws and a principle about separation of church and state, and that's what the National Lobby Group is about.
Yeah, but you see, this whole alt-right Christian right started in America. It's very powerful in America and increasingly powerful here.
It is powerful, and it lobbies. It has its own Christian lobby group.
Mm.
And on the issues of same-sex marriage and other related issues, they take a strong view and they lobby and pressure members of Parliament to follow their view and threaten. I mean, I don't object to people having the right to argue.
Mm.
But in the end, when the Parliament sits to make law, the law should not be written according to what one religious group, whoever that may be, should say, and therefore impose it on the rest of the population.
So your group, of which you are an ambassador, the National Secular Lobby, will remind us of our secular, not irreligious, but non-religious responsibilities.
I think you might say we strongly believe in freedom of religion.
Yes.
But in the running of the government, we believe freedom from religion.
Yes.
So that no particular religion, whatever it may be, Christian or Muslim or Jewish or Hindu, has an influence to write the laws of this country that are aligned with the religious group.
I remember you saying years ago, Chris Schott, former senator here, now ambassador of the National Secular Lobby, that you don't mind paying, like most Australians, for the ABC, even though it had religious programs.
Yes, I used to say to some, and I've often said it and I still say it, I would hope that now that 30% of the population are non-religious, I hope the religious clause in the ABC also means that we get 30% of coverage of non-religious issues within the religious section of the ABC. For example, you have the hymns on Sunday morning. I've occasionally listened to it, the very nice singing. But where do we have a discussion by those who do not believe in religion, and there's 30% of the population that ought to be represented in the coverage by the ABC?
Now, of course, this you're taking a positive approach, but this is at the time of the Philip Ruddock Review, which seems really know much about it, do we, Chris?
No, and what we are putting a submission to the Ruddock Review, because we are concerned that the Ruddock Review is a device whereby the present Liberal government wants to curry favour with its own right-wing group and Christian groups by saying we're a complete myth that same-sex marriage is, there are issues of freedom of religion. There is not.
No.
But we suspect that that could be a device, and that's why we put a submission in defending freedom of religion, but freedom from religion, and that the marriage law is a secular law. It's not a religious law, and should be treated as such.
And you'll do so without the fear component that was behind a lot of the religious debate, for example, during the same-sex marriage. This, you know, it's become a furphy. This Baker will not be able to say, thank you, I don't agree with same-sex marriage, therefore I decline your request to make a wedding cake, which is a nonsense.
Well, even a conservative body like the Law Council of Australia has said it's a complete nonsense, that view. It was used as a device try and attack the rights of ordinary citizens to choose to marry who they like under what is a secular law in the federal parliament, available under the Constitution of Australia.
Because any discrimination is illegal. I won't make a cake for Muslims or black people or so forth. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, et cetera. So if that was put in as an exemption, it is a loophole that other people with a narrow view would use to criticise and claim exemption from being a racist or being a religiously intolerant person, of course.
Greg says on the text line 0467 922 891, our political system is more religious than the Vatican, unrepresentative religious swill. That's a rather extreme position, Greg, but there we are. Heaven help us if we ever have a president in this country like America. This does put a lot of people off the Republic, Chris.
Well, of course, just on that point, no one has proposed under any of the Republican models that we have an American system where the president is also the political leader.
That's true.
The prime minister is still the political leader running the country if he gets elected every 3 years.
But people want an elected, as we saw in 99, people actually want an elected president, rightly or wrongly. That's a different debate.
The argument is whether the president should be elected by all the people, or should be elected by a two-thirds majority of all the members of the federal parliament.
Which many people thought the sensible option, but the people didn't, alas.
Yes. Now, if the people want an elected president, so long as it's defined that the prime minister and the parliament is still superior,
yes,
that is fine. It's not the American system.
But then there's the danger, Chris, you know, and you well know this. The president, say Dick Smith, you know, someone with a lot of money and a lot of media, the president then is sitting in Yarralumla thinking, wait a minute, my popularity is 72% and the prime minister's 23%, no, 17% and falling coup. And therein lies a huge danger that people don't,
That is the argument, main argument against an elected president vis-a-vis the two-thirds.
You create
majority.
Someone with a lot of power with no who has power but no power.
And the main argument we from the secular lobby group have is that we have an Australian president, an Australian citizen, who by definition is not the head of the Anglican Church, which prohibits the head of state of Australia ever being other than a member of the Anglican Church.
And one family.
Someone's
saying no representation without taxation. Churches and religious organisations want to say, if they want to say, they can pay tax. And that's another argument. Freedom of religion should not affect freedom from religion, says Kay from Adelaide, which is your point, Chris, isn't it?
Yep. And can I just say, the debate which is happening in other countries in the Western world, including North America, is about where the tax deductibility, freedom from tax of charitable organisations, including the churches, and not but many other organisations, there's a good argument where the tax deductibility or foregoing tax, when in fact they may be running commercial operations, commercial activities as well, where other businesses do pay tax.
Lots of texts here. About time we heard the secular viewpoint, too much religion in politics, says Richard. I'm sure many would agree with Richard. But there are powerful lobbies, aren't there, Chris, which you will counter?
We will counter, and we will use every opportunity, not just me, but many others. This secular lobby group, and we've started here in South Australia, and it's aiming to become a national organisation, and always seek to have a view put whenever there's a public debate on these issues of separation of church and state. We will be there to put the argument that there should be separation.
Of course, which was basic to a Western democracy, isn't it?
You cannot have a genuine democracy where there is not separation of church and state. Mm. You go to countries, in the world, where religion runs it, has got a theocracy, you do not have a democracy. Mm. And you get people persecuted because they do not have the same religious view, as we find in one-party totalitarian states. If you're against the government, you get arrested.
But there are the religious in all parties, Chris, aren't there? Well, not so much the Greens, but all other parties. Particularly in the Labor Party.
Well, the Labor Party in our good state of South Australia, there's a bit of history way back in the 1890s. The Labor Party was formed by workers from both Catholic and Methodist in particular.
Mm.
Workers in the copper mines and in the factories in Adelaide, and it was a mixture of Catholic and Methodists who came together to form the Labor Party out of the trade union movement. But now it's much broader than that. But initially, yes, and they were workers who saw that issues that affected their living standards and their life and their future, their kids, had to be tackled by parliamentary action, and that was above in their own private view of whether they were Catholic or Methodist or Anglican or whatever.
Chris, I thank you very much for coming on. And
if anyone just goes and Googles on the internet and looks up National Secular Lobby, they will find our website and information, what we're doing, and can participate.
Thank you, Chris. Good luck. All the best.